We're about three or four messages into it, and so this is just another one that I kind of comes from a different angle. But I'm praying that every individual that has anything to do with doing their best and finding a relationship with God and all that, that they will experience and find breakthrough in their lives, especially in this area right here. So the title of the message tonight is What I've Learned About Breakthrough. So the question, I guess it would be, what have I learned? And the first thing is that I have to trust God in all areas of my life. Can everybody say all? In all areas of our lives. So I'm not just talking about that we're praying for or needing a breakthrough for like a healing in our lives, or as like Lori and I have shared many, many times, that praying for a lost loved one or a prodigal to come home. Maybe we have some that really concentrate more on just seeing a breakthrough in their jobs, that they need a new job, or that they've looked into 2021, they've already decided, I just want to have a breakthrough in this new year, that it would be an awesome year. But if I really want to show that I trust God in all the areas of my life, there's something that we need to add to it, and that is I have to trust Him with my giving. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the tithe. And I think it's important that we do that. I think that a lot of pastors try to avoid this message, but I'm praying that I'm bringing it to you in a different way tonight that will be a blessing to you. So, trusting God with our tithe, for whatever reason, changes our laws of trust. Being able to trust anything or anyone takes time. Sometimes it takes research. There's experience. There's results that we're looking for. And just remember this about the Lord. I'm going to say this a few times throughout the message, and this is it, is that God is a giver. Amen? The breakthrough of trusting God in all areas, including our giving, creates a huge momentum, a blessing for you and to be able to bless others. Now, we talked about that this Sunday in the story of King David, where God established him so that he could be a channel of being a blessing to his people. So we know that this is true. But here's something that is also true. And everybody receive this when I say this. We all work hard for our checks. Some might think that they work harder than others, but whether you lift a 50-pound sack of cement all day, or you type all day, or you look at figures all day, or you deal with personalities, or you handle large accounts, we work hard, hopefully because we take pride in our work, but we also work hard because our employers expect that from us. If we don't work, we don't get paid. We work hard to make a living, but God isn't trying to steal anything from us. Does everybody agree with me on that? And that's the thing that most people, that before they come and establish a trusting relationship with God, there's a difference in opinion on that. It changes the way you think. It ultimately changes your heart, and it causes it to soften. The more that we get closer to God, the more that we trust Him, the more that we enter into that relationship, our heart begins to soften. And when it comes to tithe, trusting the tithe and believing God's word, we usually need a sign that God is at work. Now, the first sign that this is happening, and again, I'm just going to put this up here, is that we have a soft heart. It can be a heart that is open to trusting God with our finances, a heart that is soft enough to be touched, restored, and empowered, and it makes all the difference. You guys, in Ezekiel 36:26, this is usually the go-to of this scripture, but I want to read it for us, and it says this, and I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So what have I learned about breakthrough? A soft heart allows us to hear from God. Can you give me an amen on that? You're giving to God, and you're also hearing from Him. A soft heart all allows us to see what God is actually doing around us. The more real we are with God and ourselves, the more aware we are of God in the aspect of our lives. A soft heart positions us well. Trusting God puts us exactly where we're supposed to be. Again, this Sunday, we talked about what a blessing to know that God puts us where we're supposed to be. A soft heart is capable of being blessed and being a blessing to others. That there is this process that takes place And we're going to get into this. 1 Chronicles 14:2, remember this is what we read. And David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and that his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of his people. God first. Everybody say God first. Online, say it in your home. Just say God first, because God first is what needs to take place. We put him first, then he establishes us, then his blessing flows through us to be a blessing to others. So let me go through the God first, you guys. God first, then he will use us to be a blessing to others. What I have learned regarding my heart and the tithe is he has to be. There's so many things sometimes that in our flesh that we get tempted to put before God. And it happens more than you think, because it's like, I think that the deeper that you get in a relationship with the Lord, we get a little better at recognizing when it's happening. We can sense it. We can sense that we're being tempted to put something else before God. But if we keep God first, everything comes into line. My heart first to God. My finances first to God. If there is any challenge to you in this message, this will be one of them. And this is our reasons for not giving. And there can be a variety of reasons that we can choose not to give the tithe. But I do want to say this. If we will go with our reasons, whatever that would be, and we line them up against God's word, I promise you, you're going to find that there is no reason good enough to miss out on God's plan and blessing for our lives. Pastors can sometimes miss the mark on teaching their congregations on the giving of the tithe. And what it is, and the reason is they usually focus, and you guys capture this and listen to what I'm saying, is they focus more on the blessing of the return. But there's so much more about giving to the Lord, amen? And guys, so if you will tithe, basically what they're saying is that you will be blessed. Now let me say something. This is true. Does everybody agree with me? This is true. Okay, so we're going to look at the scriptures that prove that this is true. I want to read them to you. Malachi 3:8-12. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Then you look in Proverbs 3:5, and skipping to verse 9 and 10, it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. There is nothing false about the statement that if you will give to God, that you will be blessed. That is 100% true. His word says it's true. But if that is the only fact being pointed out, then what happens is that we, and especially those who don't understand it, they will get into this place of questioning, searching, trying to reason through about giving the tithe because there's only this focus of prosperity teaching. Guys, that doesn't always break through a flesh response. Breakthrough comes through understanding why we should give to God. I mean, completely, as your pastor, I want you to know what your tithe is doing, okay? I've only been here for about 5 months, but guys, I want to read you what I know so far, okay? This is what, and some of this is experienced through just being a minister over the years. I want you to know what your tithe is doing. It's paying salaries. It's keeping up the building. It's taking care of supplies, bills, equipment, curriculum, signage, Wi-Fi, anything that helps us operate. But your giving does some really cool things for the kingdom of God. Your tithe helps people in need, medical, dental, home bills, appliance replacement, paying actually home mortgages, helps send people, our church to minister around the world, Philippines, Africa, Europe, and Israel. We have blessed key missionaries and programs around the world. It allows us to bless our visitors who come and visit us at Harvest VA. It helps our youth program. It assists in feeding the hungry. It allows every year to bless the community. No charge to them for food, entertainment, and games, as far as like the Harvest Festival that we just had, the VBS that I was able to see, and other events. It makes ways for students and adults to attend conferences and conventions that they need to go to. It allows us to bring special speakers to Harvest to come and be a blessing to us. It gives us an opportunity to bless those who serve in our church. It's making a way for expansion of a future home. We are not a needy church. Can we say amen to that? That we're not in debt to anyone. Can I get an amen for that? And we're very thankful for this. It fulfills the yearly vision for Harvest. Every year when we give, it allows us not just Brad, Bill, Charger, Dana, Chuck, or whoever else would get up here and speak, but it allows us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm just touching the surface. There's so many things that God blesses us when we give and how he blesses our church in return, that when you give, that you're doing something amazing in the kingdom of God. We need to hear these things so that our flesh response doesn't rise up against our giving response to God. That's just some of what tithing does here at Harvest. But it doesn't even scratch the surface of what God is also going to do in your home. When we combine our giving with our praise, with our reading, our prayer time, the fasting that we just went through for this 21 days together, and with our worship, that's a blessed, powerful life. We're putting it all together. It's going in and touching every area of our life. That's when we see a body of believers, people experiencing breakthrough in our church. That's when we see as individuals breakthrough in our homes and in our lives. I love that giving is one of the purest forms that we can do with God. It's one of the purest forms of us being able to even worship him with our giving. So when somebody says this, guys, please, I don't want this to get uncomfortable for anybody, but when somebody says this, that I don't pay tithe because I don't know where the money goes, this is what I've learned. That's usually not the true reason why they don't give. It was already decided here, and I'm talking about in the heart, for the reason that they're not giving. And Jesus understood this. Matthew 6:21 says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Look at how Paul addresses this in 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what does it say? What you've decided in what? In your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Have you ever been to a church where there was a lot of compulsion going on to give? Do y'all know what I'm talking about by this? If you don't, let me give you an example. Lori and I went to a gospel concert over in Norfolk. I won't name the church. And my cousin Tim, who's an amazing guitarist, got called in from California to come and play on this live album. So we went. Well, at some point, right, about halfway through the concert, they decided to take an offering. 35 minutes later, That's what makes people run out the back door when you talk about giving to God. Is everybody with me? God is a giver. Everybody say amen to that. He gave us life. He gave us his son. Jesus gave his life. God gave us his spirit, and we all have been made to his image to be a people who gives. Matthew 10:8 says, "Freely you have received, freely give." What I have learned, and here's the first thought, God will always outgive me. Fall of 2016, we were going into Christmas, very excited. It was just right after Thanksgiving. And out of nowhere, our youngest son has to have his wisdom teeth removed. On top of that, our daughter's bill for her next semester to go to Lee University came in. If Brad can attest to this, We pay tithe also to the Assemblies of God, and in December is my month to pay also to the General Council to go into the next year. And the next thing you know, we are 3 weeks before Christmas, and guys, I'm going to be honest with you, we had no money. We didn't know what we were going to do for Christmas. The next week, we got an $800 check, we got another $1,000 check, and got another $1,000 check. That's God. That had nothing to do with us. Psalms 4:5 says, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Okay? God gives, and I'm going to say it again, God is a giver. That no matter what I'm facing or what I might see, I know what is right before the Lord. I know what I'm supposed to give. I just have to trust that God is going to see me through. Amen? Here's the second thought, what I've learned. There will always be a reason not to give. I do this a lot at the church, but I talk about loosening our grip. And my grandfather, who he's 95 years old, lives down in the Houston area, and he's still preaching today. He used to do this sermon where he would talk about tithing, and he would talk about how loosening the grip, and he would describe how when he was, before he became a believer, and he would go to these tent revival meetings where he got saved back in the late 40s or early 50s. And when the preacher would talk about giving, he said he would literally grab his wallet and almost squeeze it in half. You know what I mean? He just was not going to let anybody get to his wallet. And guys, listen to this. I would just say this. Loosen your grip and trust him. I would say this. Approach him with your best. Make this a part of who you are and a part of your life. I had just graduated from Bethany University. Got licensed in May of 1988. A few months later, Lori and I get married in October of 1988. And from a lot of hassling, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. She didn't have to hassle me to marry her. I'm playing around. So anyway, get me off my message. So we get our first job to go help plant a church up in Sacramento, which today that church is a mega church up in Rockland, California. And when we went up, you know, of course, we're in a warehouse. Lori and I have to get jobs at the Sacramento courthouse, and we did get some jobs. But we both could kind of get better jobs if we could take this typing test that they wanted us to do that costs $20. Lori and I are in love. We're moved up to Sacramento. We've got a great apartment up there. We think everything's amazing, so we go and spend all our money, everybody say all, all our money on furniture to put into that apartment, not thinking about next week that we wouldn't have enough money to take a $20 typing test. So we couldn't even pull $20 out of the bank because we didn't have it to take the test, and so we had to wait for the first check to come through so that we could kind of get an advance in our job. And so what happens is the check comes in. Let me just say this right here. As soon as the check came, I want you to know, we tithed on it. There was plenty of reasons that I could have came up with why, Lori, let's just put it off to next month because we really need this money for the test. We're going to need this for this. But we tithed on it. And guys, let me tell you what happened. Not only did we both get better jobs within the Sacramento courthouse, God took care of us. We always had enough. Amen? He took care of us. He started to restore our bank accounts. It was just something we just believed. So what happens is the flesh gets involved and makes it not so easy to tithe. And we start coming up with excuses. But that no matter what arises, we have to trust God. We have to give him our best offering. Line your reasons up again. Line it up against the word. If you ever come up with a reason why you don't think you should pay tithe that month, line it up. Keep your heart soft regarding giving to God. Amen? What I have learned, number three, is this, is that I have to trust the one that I am giving to. And when I say the one, I'm talking about God. I have to trust him. If God is not first, tithing will never make sense. And we will never trust God when it comes to giving. Let me go through some God first for you real quick. God first helps us recognize any selfishness in our hearts before it rises against our giving. Keeping God first helps us deal with any giver's remorse or, believe it or not, cold feet that might rise up in our hearts after giving to God. God first helps us develop a heart that desires to give and to give freely. In Proverbs 11:24, it says, "One person gives freely yet gains even more, and another withholds unduly but comes to poverty." Keeping God first helps expand the heart's ability to be thankful. And we completely know and understand where all the blessing comes from. God first increases our ability to trust. And that godly trust will flow equally. And guys, you've got to catch what I'm about to say here. It increases our ability to trust when we keep him first. But listen to this. And that godly trust will flow equally to all areas of our life. All areas of trust in our lives. And I think that's just a great way to look at that. So I'm going to start wrapping this up. What I have learned is this, I'm going to say it again. God is a giver. And he will always be a giving, caring God. And can I, Matt Stewart, can you reflect that characteristic of God? And I want to continue to get better at it. I'm going to call on the old school Assemblies of God people here right now, but how many of you guys remember Buddy Barrels? Assemblies of God, okay. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it sounds silly. But what it was, when I was a little guy in Assemblies of God at Southwest Assembly of God in Little Rock, Arkansas, as a little kid, I can remember from some of the first Sunday school classes I ever went to, we got handed these little yellow barrels, and they told them they were buddy barrels, and we all wanted a buddy barrel, you know, and we got our buddy barrels, and we took them home, and what we did is we put quarters, nickels, dollars, whatever, and when you filled them up, we brought them back for Speed the Light and missions and all kinds of things that you would do it for. But in a young age, and this is something that I thank the Assemblies of God for, is that they began to teach us as young kids, as young children, that it is good to give to God, that it's good to trust him. And it just has stuck. I have learned that I do not want to rob God of anything. I have learned that as I trust and become more faithful with my finances with God, he will always take care of me. Guys, listen to this. No matter what. No matter what, he's going to take care of me. I have learned that if I am faithful in giving back to God, the blessing that is returned is greater than what I could ever have hoped for. Be faithful. Whether you make $200,000 or $20,000, this is what I love about our God. He said, give me 10%. And you know what that did? Between the person that is $200,000 and the person that is $20,000, it levels that playing field. And I hope that you catch that. Don't think that this, you don't have to worry about what is this person giving or what is this person, is he giving enough or is she giving enough? We don't have to worry about it, because if we just follow what God is asking us to do, he's going to take care of us. We don't have to worry about what is the person making $200,000 giving. We just give according to what we make and just watch what God is going to do. Amen? You're going to see breakthrough through this, I promise you, and God's going to do it. Keeps us on a loving playing field. Start today giving God your heart. Give him your worship. Give him your time. And give him your tithe. Get to a place of trusting the Lord with this. When we are faithful to give and trust God with our tithe, we will experience breakthrough in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear Lord, for what you're already doing this year. I want to thank you for what you've seen us through in January, and that as we enter into this new month, celebrating so many things, dear Lord, just celebrating equality, celebrating humanity, celebrating life, that, Father God, that you're also going to encourage us. You're going to be there by showing that it is a good thing not to just give thanks to the Lord, but to give your tithe to him. Father God, I pray that you challenge us in our hearts that not only can we give in our tithe, but we can also go above and beyond. Lord God, one of the most incredible things that you have taught Lori and I, even in our marriage, was just even starting Lori early in our marriage, just even giving to CBN so many years ago, and just watching what a blessing to our family that has been. Now today, she produces for them. It's an amazing thing to see what God does. Father, I pray that if there's anybody online, if there's anybody in this room right now, dear Lord, that is just needing a financial miracle in their lives, Father God, that they would experience breakthrough in this area of their lives. That God, I just pray that right now, that even as we're praying, that your Holy Spirit comes in and just begins to rest on them. At their homes, if they're looking at this in their car, if they're here in the church, dear Lord, I pray that even now as we're praying it, that your Holy Spirit is already beginning to rest with them, challenging them, giving them a peace about it. And Lord, I just pray that you'll encourage us just to watch and see what the Lord is going to do. I thank you, Lord, that you bless us, that there is prosperity in it, but I also thank you that we can be a blessing to others, that we can be a blessing to the church, to the mission field, and to our neighbors, to the city. In the name of Jesus, help us through our giving, Lord, to touch the city of Chesapeake. And I thank you for what you're doing and for what you're going to do. And I ask this in your holy and precious name, and let the church say amen. Man, God bless you guys. I hope I didn't step on any toes. I hope that you still love me tomorrow. I think that's a song. Will you still love me tomorrow? Is that the song? Is that a song? No, I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it right now. Don't want to break the spirit. But anyway, we will see you guys this Sunday. I hope you'll come. I just believe the Lord has.